Today's text is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 35 through 40. In today's text, we are looking at the last week of Jesus' public ministry in Jerusalem. In just a few days, Jesus will be crucified and killed. Despite knowing this, he continues to preach the gospel faithfully until his death. He testifies to the truth of the gospel to everyone he meets, even those who approach him with false accusations. Jesus tells us who he is and what he came to accomplish, which is to enable hopeless sinners to believe in him as the Lord, Christ, and Savior, and to gain eternal life. We must also remember that we have the same calling. Therefore, we must preach the gospel until the end and testify of Jesus and the grace of salvation that he achieved. Although today's text is a short passage, the following verse testifies to the gospel and shows who Jesus is, simply and clearly. We need to reflect our faith through these words as well. Verse 35 says, "And as Jesus taught in the temple, he said, 'How can the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David?' In the past, the Pharisees, Herodians, Sadducees, and scribes would often come to Jesus to test him and ask him questions in order to find ways to attack him. However, in today's text, Jesus was teaching in the temple, and instead of simply answering their questions, he began to ask them questions as well, revealing the truth of the gospel and our salvation. In verse 35, Jesus asked why the scribes say that Christ is the son of David, and then he answered his own question by quoting Psalm 110 and testifying that he's the Christ who was born as the son of David. Verses 36 and 37 states this: "David himself in the Holy Spirit declared, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, until I put your enemies under your feet.' David himself calls him Lord. So how then can he be his son?" And the large crowd listened to him with delight. Psalm 110 verse 1. "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." It's important to pay attention to what Jesus says when quoting Psalm 110. He mentions that David himself spoke this psalm in the Holy Spirit. This means that David wrote this psalm under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Jesus confirms that David's psalms are the words of God. Although David wrote this psalm based on his own background, thoughts, and personality, the Holy Spirit inspired him and made it the word of God. This applies to all the Psalms and the entire Old Testament, as they were written by authors whom the Holy Spirit inspired. The Bible was written by human authors whom God inspired. Therefore, it is both 100% human written and 100% God written. This shows us that the ultimate author of the Bible is God, and it is without errors. Moreover, through the words of this psalm, Jesus reveals his identity. This indicates that the Old Testament, written under God's inspiration, is all about Jesus to come. This is further supported by 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, John chapter 5, verse 39, and Luke chapter 24. In summary, the Bible's 66 books were written under God's inspiration and are all about Jesus. We must remember that all scriptures were written by God-inspired authors and are centered on Jesus Christ. In today's text, Jesus himself testifies to two very important truths in the questions and answers he gives. The first is that Christ must come as David's descendant, and the second is that David confessed that Christ, who would come as his descendant, was his Lord God who existed before. Christ is the Lord God of David, and the one who comes as David's descendant, and Jesus reveals that he is him. This is what all the Old Testament promised and has now been fulfilled with the coming of Jesus. Thus, the gospel is that God came as a man, and David's God came as David's descendant to save his people who had fallen into sins. This was promised in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. If you look at these words carefully, God promised to send a Savior who would come as a descendant of David. This Savior would establish the eternal kingdom of God. Jesus is the Christ and the only Savior promised by God. However, the scribes knew that Christ would be born as a descendant of David, but they didn't believe that he was also the Lord God. They hoped that a king like David would be born and establish a strong and wealthy kingdom of God. In Psalm 110, God said to the promised descendant of David, "I will put your enemies under your feet." This was an understanding that when David's descendant was born, he would defeat all nations and establish the kingdom of Israel again. Even today, some Jews believe this and wait for the worldly Messiah and Christ. Therefore, they misunderstood the Bible. They didn't realize that since they are hopeless sinners and all people have fallen into sin, God himself must come as Christ and Savior to save his people from all sin, death, and the power of Satan and establish his eternal kingdom, not of this world, but of heaven, and calls his people to that kingdom. Even though Jesus as the Lord God came as the descendant of David to be Christ and Savior, they didn't know Jesus, did not believe in him, and instead rejected him, hated him, became angry, and killed him because Jesus was not the Christ they wanted and expected. By quoting Psalm 110, Jesus reveals himself as the Lord God. The Christ was born as the descendant of David and the true Savior. According to Psalm 110, Jesus testifies that soon he will defeat the enemy and put them under his feet, and he will sit at the right hand of the throne of God and in his kingdom. However, this will not be achieved through visible worldly reality, but through Jesus' death and resurrection as the reality of heaven. Jesus died on the cross and rose again 3 days later, overcoming and triumphing over the power of all enemies, namely sin, death, and Satan. He placed them under his feet, allowing the people he saved to enter heaven, the eternal kingdom of God. Jesus came for this purpose, and now, at the end of his public ministry, he has entered Jerusalem. In a few days, he will be crucified and die, and on the third day, he will be resurrected, finally fulfilling the words of Psalm 110. In today's text, Jesus quotes this psalm, reveals who he is, and preaches the gospel of the cross. According to Jesus' teachings in today's text, the most important lesson of the gospel is that our salvation can only be attained through Jesus, who is both a true God and a true man. As per the testimony of the Bible, the God of David must be born as a descendant of David. This is affirmed by all the promises in the Old Testament, where the eternal Son of God must be born as a man, become our Savior, and achieve eternal salvation on our behalf. Believing in this gospel is our salvation. However, the Jews during Jesus' time did not believe in this gospel of truth, which is so clearly testified by the Bible. Therefore, it is essential that we go back to our faith and embrace the gospel that Jesus, the eternal Son of God, came as a man and fulfilled our salvation. Westminster Larger Catechism, question 38 asks, why was it requisite that the mediator should be God? Answer, it was requisite that the mediator should be God, that he might sustain and keep the human nature from sinking under the infinite wrath of God and the power of death, give worth and efficacy to these sufferings, obedience, and intercession, and to satisfy God's justice, procure his favor, purchase a peculiar people, give his spirit to them, conquer all their enemies, and bring them to everlasting salvation. Larger Catechism, question 39 asks, why was it requisite that the mediator should be man? Answer, it was requisite that the mediator should be man, that he might advance our nature, perform obedience to the law, suffer and make intercession for us in our nature, have a fellow feeling of our infirmities, that we might receive the adoption of sons, and have comfort and access with boldness unto the throne of grace. Dear saints, our salvation is believing that Jesus, our Savior, came as true God and true man. First, if our Savior is not the true God, he cannot pay the wages of our eternal sin, satisfy God's justice, or pour out the Holy Spirit on us. Also, if our Savior is not a true man, he cannot represent us or achieve our salvation in our places. Since God has made this known from the Old Testament, and believing this correctly is the faith that leads to salvation, Jesus does not overlook those who do not correctly believe God's word about Christ, the Savior. Because if one does not know or believe correctly about Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. If you do not believe that Jesus is God, or that Jesus became a man to be our only Savior in Christ, then you do not believe in the Word of God, and there is no salvation. No matter how much you say good things about Jesus, like that he is a good teacher and a great man, there is no salvation if you do not believe that Jesus came as true God and true man, and that he was born as David's descendant, as David's Lord. That is why Jesus teaches this before going to the cross, revealing that he is Christ who was promised in the Old Testament, and he will be crucified as true God and true man to save us from our sins. However, the scribes were not convinced that Jesus was the Savior they were waiting for. They were expecting the Christ who would reveal his glory through worldly means, help them prosper in the world, defeat their enemies, and establish a strong and wealthy earthly kingdom. They didn't care whether he came as God or a man. Even while reading Psalm 110, they could neither see nor understand it. Despite reading the entire Bible, they became spiritually blind and hardened in their hearts, thus unable to comprehend the Word of God. This is because knowing who Christ is was not important in their lives. They were solely focused on seeking worldly glory. They believed that by diligently following the law, they will be rewarded with worldly blessings when Christ came. Even today, some people worship Jesus like an idol without any interest in knowing who he is. They are driven by the desire to gain worldly blessings through their zeal without knowledge. Salvation is only possible if the Savior comes as both true God and true man. This is because salvation is not about gaining worldly glory or blessings through good works, but rather it comes only through the grace of Jesus. He saves us from sin, death, judgment, and the hands of Satan, and grants us eternal life in heaven. Throughout the Old Testament, God promised that He would come as Christ and Savior at the appointed time. He would be born as a descendant of David and establish the eternal kingdom of God through His obedience to death. He would sit on the throne and rule as the King of that kingdom, gathering all the saved people to live together for eternity. Despite all these promises, the scribes, the Pharisees, chief priests, and Jews who are well versed in the Bible failed to recognize Jesus as the promised Christ when He came. Even the Jews who belonged to the Church of God at the time did not know Jesus and did not accept Him. John chapter 1, verses 9 through 11 says, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. God, who created all things, came to His own, but His people did not recognize Jesus and did not welcome Him." They go even further. They reject, hate, and kill Him. However, only those who have been born again by the grace of God know Him, believe in Him, and accept Him as their Savior through the Word. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. "But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." It is truly amazing that among those who are spiritually ignorant sinners, some are born of God and possess the correct knowledge, faith, and accept Jesus. You and I are those people. It is only due to the grace of God that we are not living as spiritually blind and who do not know and believe in Jesus, which would lead us to destruction. The Holy Spirit is responsible for regenerating us and opening our spiritual eyes. This enables us to believe in Jesus as the Savior and Christ, who fulfilled all the promises of the Old Testament by becoming a man as God. Jesus is the one who has achieved eternal heavenly salvation for us in our place. Our belief in Him is possible through the Word, which is why we are considered the most blessed people. It's important to note that being knowledgeable about the Bible alone is not enough to attain salvation. If one does not have a proper understanding of the Bible and believe in Jesus, they are still spiritually blind. Jesus Himself revealed this in today's text. It is not enough to simply believe in Jesus like one would believe in idols of worldly religions. Without proper knowledge and belief in Christ, reading the Bible will not reveal the gospel truth. Merely attending church or doing good works without understanding who Jesus is and what He represents is not enough to be a true Christian. If someone just says he or she believes in Jesus, should we assume that he or she is a true Christian? No. What's important is what it is about Jesus we believe. In Mark 8, Jesus asked His disciples what they believed about Him. And in today's passage, He teaches them what kind of Christ they should believe in to be saved. It is important to have the correct knowledge and belief in Christ, as those who lack knowledge will be destroyed. The church has the responsibility to preach the gospel of truth and help people understand and believe in Jesus in the right way. Therefore, when receiving new members, They must be received through making a correct confession of faith. Thus, it is necessary to teach them the gospel of truth centered on Christ and assist them in making a proper confession of faith. However, the process of learning and teaching should not stop there. We must continue to grow in our knowledge and understanding of Jesus so that the church can continue to testify to the kingdom of God on earth, remaining pure in the true gospel and correct faith. Let us not forget the importance of knowing who Jesus is, the salvation he has achieved, and how much he loves us. Jesus quotes Psalm 110 about Christ, whom we must know and believe in correctly, and tells us that he's the true God and the one who was born as a true man to achieve our salvation. Additionally, the Apostle Paul also tells about Jesus in the same way. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 11. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This passage from Philippians provides a concise summary of the gospel and explains who Jesus is. As the Son of God, Jesus took on human form, bore our sins, shed his blood, and humbled himself to death in order to serve us and secure our salvation. God raised Jesus from the dead and exalted him to his right hand, making him the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Believing in Jesus is our salvation. If we fail to acknowledge the significance of Jesus as the Son of God who came to earth to save us, or fail to recognize the importance of God coming in the form of David's descendant, then we are not preaching the message of the true Jesus. Therefore, it is important that we continue to preach the gospel accurately and share the message of Jesus that is portrayed in the entire Bible. If we became disinterested in this message, or if we close our ears to it, or if our hearts become hardened towards it, then we have a problem. We may be getting spiritually ill, falling asleep, and dying spiritually, or seeking something else. This is why people are losing interest in knowing Jesus. Sometimes we may find ourselves having the same mindset as the scribes mentioned in today's passage. Therefore, we need to reflect on our actions and thoughts. The passage talks about the problem of not being able to hear the gospel or closing one's heart to it. Such sinful behavior can ultimately lead to abandoning Jesus, denying him, and even living a life that is against him. We know this because those who had no interest in knowing Jesus eventually crucified and killed him. Therefore, for the church and believers, it is essential to hold and preach the gospel truth faithfully. We cannot alter the gospel message to suit people's desires or preach a different Jesus in order to make the message more palatable. It is not acceptable to live as if it no longer matters who Jesus is or what he has accomplished. We cannot deceive people by telling them that merely believing in Jesus or doing good to him will guarantee everything to be fine. Jesus himself did not preach this way, for had he done so, he would not have suffered, been hated, persecuted, crucified, or killed. Instead, he revealed his true identity and preached the gospel of salvation achieved through him, without allowing any erroneous beliefs. Even today, some people misunderstand Jesus and hold on to false beliefs, refusing to seek the truth and spreading misleading messages about Christ. The Apostle Paul warns us about such practices. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. We must remember these words. We must clearly remember what kind of Jesus we should know, believe in, and preach about. If you preach the gospel correctly, it will be a stumbling block for some people. It will be like this in the church, and there will be this sinful nature within us sometimes. And if you correctly preach, know, believe in, and testify about Jesus, you will encounter a lot of opposition. Some will not listen, some will get angry, some will not understand, and no matter how much you say correctly, they will be more hardened and ignore it and keep whatever they want to believe. The gospel is like that. However, as I said, there is a reason why they do not correctly believe in Jesus or the gospel. In today's text, Jesus continues to tell us about the scribes who were so ignorant about the gospel and Jesus and why they did not believe correctly. Mark chapter 12, verses 38 through 40. And in his teaching he said, beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplaces and have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. In this passage, the scribes are depicted as outwardly holy, but inwardly hypocritical. They seek to be respected and served by others, exploit the poor, and lead lives that are in opposition to the teachings of Jesus. Essentially, they are living according to the values of Satan and the world, rather than the values of heaven and the disciples of Jesus. This passage serves as a warning against false beliefs and the dangers of leading a life that is disconnected from the teachings of Jesus. They don't humble themselves like children. Instead, they are arrogant and exalt themselves. They seek to be served. They don't have compassion toward their brothers and sisters. Instead, they take advantage of them. They do not repent of their sins before God and pray for his grace. Instead, they are hypocrites who pray for a long time to boast about themselves. This means that there is no connection between their lives and what they believe. This is not just a matter of lack of belief or understanding. It is evidence of the sinful nature within them. This means that there are reasons for not knowing Jesus, believing in Jesus incorrectly, and turning a deaf ear to the gospel of truth. This is a case of our sinful nature being revealed in our denial of the gospel. The judgment for these people will be more severe. In other words, Jesus is saying that those who belong to the church at the time, insisting that they know and believe in the Bible and God, but deny Jesus and eventually kill Jesus, will be sentenced more severely. However, those who have a correct understanding and belief in Jesus and the gospel will grow in the life of Jesus. Jesus humbled himself as God and became a man, serving sinners until he died, showing mercy and praying to God for the forgiveness of our sins until his death. Those who know and believe in Jesus want to participate in his life and become more like him. They humble themselves, serve others, pray for others, and strive to fulfill God's pleasing will for the benefit of their brothers. This life is the fruit of true faith that comes from a true knowledge of Jesus Christ. Faith and life, faith and deeds, and faith and practice are all interconnected. Above all, we must reflect on what we believe. We must seek God's grace and pray earnestly to know, understand, and believe Jesus and the gospel, and to live a life that resembles him. Dear fellow believers, let us reflect on the teachings of Jesus that we have read today. According to Jesus, the most important thing is to correctly know and believe in him. This faith enables us to live a life that resembles Jesus and grow in his love. Let us pray that God grants this grace to our entire church and all the saints so that we may grow together in our knowledge of Jesus. Jesus also speaks about the lives of those who know and believe in him correctly, and how true faith is reflected in the offering of a poor widow in verses 41 through 44 following today's text. We will discuss this more in detail next Lord's Day.